This is Scott Becker with the Becker Group Women's Leadership Podcast, part of the Scott Becker Business Podcast Series. Thrilled today to be joined by Amanda Reyes. Amanda is a lawyer at McGuire Woods and a brilliant young leader and thinker. Thrilled to have her on with us today. Amanda, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Of course. Thanks so much, Scott, and thanks for the opportunity to join you today. I've been looking forward to our chat. My family and I reside in Chicago, Illinois, and as Scott mentioned, I'm an attorney at McGuire Woods in the downtown Chicago office, practicing within the firm's healthcare group. I'm also a member of the firm's private equity industry team, healthcare life sciences industry team, and women in private equity and finance initiative. I've been with McGuire Woods for a little over 4 years now, and I'm lucky enough to get to work alongside over 150 or so attorneys nationwide, cross-department, who spend their time in the healthcare industry, counseling clients from different perspectives, whether it be regulatory, lending, corporate transactional, you name it. In terms of my practice, I spend a good majority of my time working on healthcare private equity transactions across a range of healthcare sectors, both for new portfolios and then tuck-in acquisitions for existing platforms. In addition to that work, I also advise some more traditional healthcare clients on regulatory matters, joint ventures, affiliations, and other contractual arrangements.
So, Amanda, it's been a fascinating time in the business climate today. Give us a couple observations on what you see as sort of trends in the business world today, a couple of things that you're seeing.
Certainly. I think I'll stick to this from kind of the legal perspective and what I'm seeing in terms of deal flow. And I actually have somewhat of a unique perspective here as it comes to how things have shifted over the past couple months since COVID hit. In the thick of COVID, I was actually on parental leave. And so while I wasn't in the midst of closing deals personally during March through May, I was spending my time, in addition to caring for a newborn, catching up on how businesses had been reacting and what things looked like in the healthcare sector. I think during those first few months, in speaking with several colleagues and what I was seeing and hearing as well, businesses, investors, lenders had this trepidation for good reason to kind of close and move forward with deals during this initial period. And so we were seeing a bit of a stall. Now, after what has crazily been 6+ months of this post-COVID era, as states are reopening and as healthcare providers who were well positioned to weather the storm showed that they could do that, I think what we're seeing is this of energy and a cautious optimism and opportunism towards shifting out of neutral and into that faster pace that we had been seeing before. The competition is still out there, picking back up. I know our group is keeping busy with counseling clients through these post-COVID transactions. And while we might not be all the way on full throttle, I think we're definitely seeing that cautious opportunism come back in terms of deal flow. The second thing I would say that we're seeing is business is now really more than ever realizing how important it is to ensure that they have those strong go-forward relationships with, for example, potential sellers or platforms. And I think true for internally as well within their own organization, just ensuring that they're really hiring top talent who can transition and position the companies for whatever the future holds. Those relationships and alignment strategies have always been a key aspect to the platforms that we see succeed, but I think that holds true now more than ever. Obviously, the ability to deliver results and provide that quality service remains tantamount, but I think businesses are realizing again that the importance of relationships, if those are there, it makes those results all the more likely.
Thank you. Take a moment. We're on maternity leave. Talk for a moment about what you'll tell your child about this period of time, you know, as the child ages and can understand. What do you think, what are some of the learnings you've had from this period of time?
You know, that's a really great question, Scott. And my husband and I often talk about this because it's obviously a challenging time for everyone. He's not going to remember this. He's 9 months old right now. But I think one of the things, if we think about it from kind of a beneficial perspective, it's just how much additional time we were able to spend with him during this time and how much we got to know him even more than we might not have had the pandemic not happened. I think what we also want him to kind of just know is how adaptable people have been during this time and just how much more of a focus relationships have had both within kind of our own families and friend circles, but with colleagues as well. But I think if I look back, and I hope he can see through the pictures and the money that we're taking, all of the additional quality time that we were able to spend, that's something I wouldn't have otherwise had. So that's a little bit of a silver lining for us.
Well, it's really, truly a magnificent gift. And I know in this highly pressurized world we live in, I don't know if you've yet decided whether or not he's talented and gifted or not, and whether or not you've decided on what sport he's going to play in college yet, or what college he's going to.
You know, we haven't yet pinned him into any particular sport, but he's definitely a tall little guy, so basketball could be in his future. We'll have to see.
Okay, you know the clock is running. No, I'm just kidding. Just magnificent.
I know.
Amanda, magnificent. Talk about advice that you would have for leaders. And we've talked about, look, at some point you'll talk to your child about, this was a strange period of time. You kind of missed it, but you'll hear about it forever for the rest of our lives. But talk about what advice you would give to leaders, whether of companies, of emerging leaders, of whatever kind of institution. What advice would you give to leaders at this point?
Sure. Honestly, I think there's so many different avenues that somebody can take to be a successful leader. If I kind of focus and look on what piece of advice I would give to emerging leaders, I think I would distill it down to kind of these three key bits, and each of which I will wholeheartedly state that I continuously work on to improve within myself as well. The first is maintaining mentors and retaining relationships. In terms of maintaining mentors, as an emerging leader or somebody that's first starting out in a field, you only know what you know. And it's important to realize that and not be afraid to humble yourself to ask for the help and guidance that you need to succeed. Finding those core people who you can learn from and work with and grow alongside of, I think, is vital. And as we've talked about before, I think the relationships are truly vital to success as a leader. As an attorney, my goal is not only to be the person that gives my clients legal service and legal advice, but I really strive to build those relationships, understand the businesses, and be viewed as a core component of a team that people want to work with for the long haul. The second piece of advice that I would give is just learning how to build your brand, honing in on the areas and the focus that you want to do throughout your career, what you bring to the table, and why somebody should want to work with or hire you to do it. I'm proud to be a millennial. I know we can sometimes get a bad rep, but I think in today's age, likely more than ever, thanks to COVID putting this temporary kibosh on a lot of face-to-face networking, social media and LinkedIn can be great places to do this, whether it's sharing an article that you authored on LinkedIn that's relevant to what you're doing, posting a status about a speaking engagement, doing a podcast. All of these are tasks that can often be overlooked, but that I think in the long run do make a big difference in terms of building your brand and what you're able to offer. And then the last thing that I would give as a piece of advice would be to relish in your respite. As a female attorney and a working mother, someone that I look up to, as I know so many others in this country do, is Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And one of the pieces of advice that she often gave when she was discussing leadership stemmed from her daughter, Jane. I don't have her exact quote, but I think it was something along the lines of how each part of her life provided her respite from the others and gave her the sense of proportion and learning that her colleagues, her classmates, who had these blinders on and only focused on their studies, lacked. One of my main mentors often reminds me that your career is a marathon and it's not a sprint. And I think oftentimes when individuals are starting out and are trying to get into those leadership positions, they put these blinders on and focus solely on the task at hand. And don't get me wrong, working hard, having that drive, determination, and ambition, that's key to success. But I also think that you can gain a ton of perspective that gives you something different as a leader that you can learn from the other aspects of your life.
You provided these great thoughts on sort of careers being a marathon, not a sprint. Urgency is important, but integrity is just and a ton more important. You've also mentioned that in all aspects of life, one has to find ways to take a breath so they're prepared to run this marathon, to play through for the long run and enjoy it and thrive, not just get career accomplishments, but actually enjoy it and thrive. Finally, you mentioned something near and dear to a lot of people's hearts today is Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Talk for a moment, as you're a brilliant attorney, you know, you mentioned, of course, a brilliant woman attorney. How inspiring was Ruth Bader Ginsburg to you and to your career as you reflect on how graciously she's handled herself, and what a leader and driven person she's been, that whole great package of qualities. Take a moment on Ruth Bader Ginsburg and whether that's been inspiring to you.
Yeah, Scott, my friends and I have been spending a lot of time actually talking about that. And I think what it boils down to for all of us is that she really did pave that path for females in the legal field and outside of the legal field as well. She not only reached the glass ceilings, but she smashed through it. And I think that is something that I admire so much about her and that I strive to do as well. And so I really just think I owe her a great deal of thanks for helping pave that path for all of us.
Now, you also, in addition to being this brilliant leader, are also situated in the healthcare world and live in the healthcare world. So in addition to sort of thoughts on business advice and trends you see in business, what are a few of the big trends you see in healthcare today?
Sure. I think this kind of bounces off of what we were talking about in business as well. But in the healthcare sector, like we were talking about, there was a little bit of trepidation at the beginning what this meant for the future of healthcare and healthcare deals. But what I think the healthcare industry has shown is that it can and it will bounce back. Those sectors that got hit hard, primarily those with elective procedures, so for example, dental, vision, dermatology, all of those are starting to see this uptick in patients again. Unlike other industries, travel, for example, and it's funny, I actually was and am, I don't really know how to position that anymore, but was a huge cruise fanatic before this pandemic hit. And, you know, when I look at it now, it's like, oh, I would love to do that, but I don't really need to. Healthcare, on the other hand, you can postpone your dental cleaning, your eye exam, but you need to eventually do those. And I think what we're seeing is people starting to come back, realizing that the healthcare industry has really taken the precautions and some great innovation as well. And I think when we look back on this, it's just gonna be a temporary setback to something that's hopefully even better than what it was before the pandemic hit. And along those lines of innovation, I think the second thing that I would mention is really healthcare providers stepping up in terms of creative, innovative solutions to delivering high-class quality care in the midst of this worldwide pandemic. Obviously, telehealth, telemedicine was around well before COVID, but I think it's really had its time to shine. It's different than the face-to-face still, but I think what the healthcare industry will continue to do is to take this momentum that it has been in delivering technological innovations, and I'm really interested to see how that continues to move forward, whether that's through improved forms of telemedicine, greater access to providers electronically. I think we're going to see healthcare providers and the space as a whole really look how they can incorporate these innovative means more long-term as compared to just a pandemic plan.
Thank you, Amanda. What a pleasure to visit with you and hear your thoughts about the business world, about leadership, advice for leaders, and more, and big trends in healthcare. Thank you so much for joining the Beck Group Women's Leadership Podcast today. A pleasure to visit with you, Amanda. Thank you.
Scott, thank you. It's been my pleasure. Really enjoyed speaking with you.